This morning. You will need, if you don't have there in your pew, the Chosen People Liturgy as well. That will be our liturgy every other Sunday, I suppose. And it is my great pleasure and honor to be celebrating the Lord's Supper with Pastor Bob Miller. I think most of us, if not all of us, know Pastor Bob, who's been granted an extra measure of grace. And I'll just allow you to talk about that whenever you feel like it, Bob.
Okay.
All right. A few announcements that you have in your bulletin. It is Father's Day, and Wednesday bell choir practice, is that still happening at 5 o'clock?
I believe so.
So for those of you who like to ring a bell, that would be wonderful. I asked Council President Scott Madsen if I could have 2 minutes to talk about stewardship this morning, and he said as long as I keep it under 2 minutes, that would be okay. So there's the challenge. Thank you, Lois. There's the challenge. This is what I like to say about stewardship. Many years ago, you know my dad was a pastor, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and in the South Dakota District, he led a campaign simply called His Love, Our Response. And what I love about that is it really gets to the core of why we give, why we come and we give our tithes, our offerings. Sometimes, at least for me, maybe for you, we get caught up in, let's give to pave the parking lot. Let's give so we can have more bells in our bell choir. Let's give so we can get Julie a nicer Clavinova. Or for some special purpose to enhance our congregation or to enhance our worship. And that's okay. But truly, we give because of what God has done for us. And it is nothing less than life. Life here on this earth, and more importantly, the gift of eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. His love, our response to that great love. So thank you for continuing to give, and just that encouragement to continue to give as our joint call committee continues to work, seeking a shepherd. God has a name. Bob and I prayed this morning. God has a name. Sometimes we just got to get out of the way and let things happen. So, His love, our response this morning means we're going to sing our hearts out in worship. Please stand and join me in the invocation song, We Are Gathered Here.
We are gathered here in the name of the Maker. We are gathered here to sing God's praise. We are gathered here in the name of the Maker, chosen by God's grace. We are gathered here in the name of the Savior. We are gathered here to sing God's praise. We are gathered here in the name of the Savior, chosen by God's grace. We are gathered here in the name of the Spirit. We are gathered here to sing God's praise. We are gathered here in the name of the Spirit, chosen by God's grace.
The peace of the Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Please share an appropriate sign of peace with one another this morning.
Christ be with you.
Christ be with you. Christ peace. You may be seated. I realize that we stood for most of the service 2 weeks ago, and so I'll try to do better this week, all right? Let us join in. The confession is found on the bottom of page 1 in your Chosen People liturgy. We have not lived as your chosen people. You can join me.
We have not loved your daughters and sons.
We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the servant, your son. Sometimes I hate. Sometimes I lie. Sometimes I waste. Sometimes I cheat. We have not lived as your chosen people. We have not loved your daughters and sons. We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the servant, your son. Sometimes I'm selfish. Sometimes I'm prejudiced. Sometimes I am uncaring. Sometimes I am destructive. We have not lived as your chosen people. We have not loved your daughters and sons. We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the servant, your son.
Kyrie eleison. Christ, we know that this is true. The journey of praise.
Thank you.
is the Lord. We can feel suffering and someone near and near. We are given
prayer of the day. It's found on the top of page 4. Gracious Lord, we are a chosen people, but sometimes we don't feel like anyone would choose us. Sometimes we feel our best friends and our family don't even know us. It seems the pressures of the world are too much for one person alone. Help us remember, Lord, that each of us is specially chosen be a part of your family, to follow in the footsteps that Jesus walked. And though the road may be difficult, help us today to feel the presence of your Spirit holding us forever in your family. Amen. Listen. Oh, sorry. Not till the gospel, right, Julie?
The first reading is from the 38th chapter of Job. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Who is that darkness counsels by words without knowledge? Gird up your lions like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk, or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy, or who shut the sea with doors when it burst out of its womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed bounds for it, and set bars and doors, and said, thus far shall you come and no further, and here shall you proud waves be stopped. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 107 responsibly. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good, for God's mercy endures forever.
Let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim that God redeemed them from the hand of the foe,
gathering them in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south.
Some went down to the sea in ships, plying their trade in deep waters.
They beheld the works of the Lord, God's wonderful works in the deep.
Then God spoke, and a stormy wind arose, which tossed high the waves of the sea.
They mounted up to the heavens and ascended to the depths. Their souls melted away in their peril. They staggered
and reeled like drunkards, and all their skill was of no avail.
Then, in the trouble, they cried to the Lord, and you delivered them from their distress.
You stilled the storm to a whisper, and silenced the waves of the sea.
Then were they glad when it grew calm, when you guided them to the harbor they desired.
Let them give thanks to you, Lord, for your steadfast love and your wonderful works for all people.
Let them exalt you in the assembly of the people, in the council of the elders. Let them sing hallelujah. The second reading is from the 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on one day of salvation I have helped you. See now in the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have condemned ourselves in every way. Through great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute, we are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see, we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts also. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please stand for the gospel.
According to Mark, verses 35 through 41.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Where's my feet? What did I lose there?
Really,
I have too many papers here. Yes. When evening had come, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in a boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, I guess now is when I have to tell you why you're laughing at me. When I first looked in the mirror yesterday, I had to laugh. I had a little encounter with the pavement yesterday. I had taken a pill that tends to lower my blood pressure, and I'd forgotten that fact because I don't very often take that pill. And then I got on my bicycle, and it was about, I don't know, 10 miles out and pedaling up a hill, and I thought, "Ooh, I'm getting kind of faint here. I need to get to the top of this hill and then take a rest." And I got to the top of the hill, and that's where I fainted, and I must have just fallen right nose first onto the pavement. And I was along Highway 85, and somebody came along and probably thought I was dead, and they called 911. So I had a trip to the hospital in the ambulance, and it was all very exciting. But by the time I got to the hospital, I was fine again. My blood pressure had come back up, and I knew what had happened. And everything was okay until I got home and looked in the mirror. So this is my W.C. Fields impersonation. Well, there's, let's see here, too many papers. There's a liability about preaching from the lectionary and giving a sermon title to the secretary earlier in the week, because the lectionary gives some options occasionally. And this week the option was the passage Jeremiah just read from Job, or a passage from 1 Samuel that tells the wonderful story of David and Goliath. And I had originally started to write a sermon, and they needed a sermon title, so I sent in What Kind of Father? Because it's Father's Day. It seemed like a good sermon for today. And then maybe I got confused with First Congregation or with Unity Congregational Church. Maybe they're using the Samuel passage, but I sent a note back to Gene and said, no, we need to change the title to What Me Worry? Remember the old Mad Magazine, which I always loved. So then I get here and find that no, it is about the Job passage. But we're given those options because there's some relationship. Both of them relate somehow to the gospel reading, which I just read. So, what I wanted to say about What Kind of Father was, what kind of father sends a storm to threaten his children just so that they will understand and maybe praise God all the more? I wouldn't be too eager to praise a father that sent me into peril just so I could appreciate the Father. And what I wanted to say as it related then to the gospel was, one of the things that we fear most is when our faith is challenged. And something about what we've always believed doesn't quite fit anymore. And we have to tear it all down, reconstruct the foundations of our faith, and rebuild. That's a frightening process, but it's important because that's the way our faith continues to grow. I think to say, I read the word, here's what it means, one and done, that's over. That is to kill the living word. So our faith needs to continue to grow always as we reinterpret scripture from the events of our life. Well, I want to tell you about Bill Kuhl. Bill Kuhl was a classmate of mine in high school, and he was cool. Bill stood out not just because he was blind, which made him gentle and unassuming, but because he was also a state wrestling champion, which made him aggressive and tough. Bill told us that he believed his blindness gave him an advantage over his sighted opponents, because he had a greater body awareness and a sense of space, so that if his face was buried in his opponent's armpit or something, he couldn't see anything. Didn't matter to him. He just naturally knew where to grab for a leg hold. And if he made a move that took away his opponent's vision, they were greatly impaired. And Bill didn't have an imposing physique. and he admitted that his opponents often underestimated him and came into the fight a little soft, didn't want to take advantage of him. So, and since he couldn't see the guy across the mat, he had no first impressions or false expectations. He wouldn't just look at the guy and say, whoa, he's better than I am, man. I don't have a chance. Didn't bother him. Every match was an exciting adventure for him where he could initiate actions and react to unexpected movements and intellectually find solutions to problems. It was a game for him. And he knew that people generally had lower expectations of him because of what they considered to be a handicap. So he was not burdened by other people's expectations. That removed some of the anxiety that able-visioned opponents carried with them to the mat. He had a rather fearless demeanor. In his 16 years, he had overcome odds against him many times, but he never saw anything about himself to be exceptional. He thought everyone has something trying to hold them back. Everyone has something working against them. Everyone has their own unique handicap. At least his was identifiable. So he figured he had nothing, he was nothing more than on par with his peers. Except, of course, that he was a state champion in Ohio. There are a lot of high school wrestlers in Ohio. Well, the reading from Samuel tells the story of David and Goliath. And just to give a few of the highlights, Goliath is a big giant. And I don't think I need that. I'll get it if I do. This big giant had been just teasing the Israelites. Are you afraid? Well, sure they were, because here was this huge guy that nobody could contest with. So he taunted them, and they were all afraid. Except this little boy came out and said, I'll do it. Goliath had made this deal. Why do we fight nation against nation and imperil all of us? Choose one man to fight me, and whoever wins, that nation will serve the other. So David took the challenge. Well, he's just a kid. And so Saul, the king, dresses David in his own armor. Couldn't be better armor anywhere than that. David puts it on, he can hardly move, and he says, now I can't do this. So he goes against Goliath with he picks out 5 smooth stones and hurls a stone with his sling, hits Goliath right between the eyes, and the battle's over. The boy David had a fearless demeanor. And that actually added to what other people considered to be his unrealistic, youthful sense of invincibility. They thought, that kid is crazy. But he certainly wasn't burdened by other people's expectations. He wouldn't have any expectations except this boy's going to die. Everyone, including Goliath, thought that because he was just a boy, he didn't stand a chance against the giant. But David had overcome uneven odds before, and he didn't think it exceptional to go against this giant. Killing a lion or a bear was just part of the responsibility of caring for sheep. He had served as a shepherd, and he had killed lions and sheep as they threatened his flock. If there is anything particularly heroic about it, shepherds would be kings instead of servants. He was only doing what anyone else in his place would have done, except that, in this case, everyone else was terrified of Goliath. In fact, they were so terrified that they were willing to concede rather than fight. And the other thing that David had going for him was a keen sense of his own abilities. When he rejected the king's armor, it was assumed that he was foolishly handicapping himself. But he saw his youthful, unburdened body as an advantage over the opponent, weighted down, as described in verses 5 and 7, with a helmet of bronze on his head, and armed with a coat of mail that weighed 600 shekels of bronze. He had greaves of bronze on his legs and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. You read that, and it begins to sound like a race between a thoroughbred and a farm horse in full harness. David liked his odds. And of course, the other thing, David had no doubt that God was on his side. What more awesome opponent could there be to a sailor in a small boat than a storm at sea? Jesus' disciples feared that they were going to perish. How could Jesus be so careless as to sleep right through it? Well, maybe Jesus knew the storm wasn't as great a threat as their fear of it. You hear FDR saying, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." And those words from a man with a perceived handicap. If they weren't so afraid, maybe the disciples could have handled their boat with the skill that their experience had taught them. Maybe when he hollered, "Peace, be still," he was speaking as much to the men as he was to the disciples. Speaking as much to the disciples as he was to the storm. You know what I wanted to say better than I did. When they settled down, the storm wasn't so tough. Clint Eastwood enters the cafe and finds 5 gunmen holding all the patrons and staff hostage. And he shows no fear, and the gunmen are clearly shaken. He takes them all out except one. He says, "Go ahead, make my day." And the last one drops his gun. Why is it that we fear the unknown instead of entering it as an adventure and the possibility, the possible opportunity to reveal something of the image of God within ourself? Why do we fear failure when it is usually our best teacher? Why do we fear death when we say we believe it is our entry to a greater life in the presence of God? It is our fear that gives death its sting and takes the joy out of life. How often does Scripture begin with the words, "Fear not," or "Have no fear"? You know, it's often spoken by angels, which would be the new title I would put on this sermon, Afraid of Angels. As Jesus calms the storm within and without, he says to the disciples, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Do we have faith? Do we not believe that God will always bring something good out of circumstances we deem to be tragic? Do we not see that even Christ's death on the cross became something great that changed the world? Can we not appreciate that each one of us has been created in the image of God with unique abilities? These are questions about our faith. We are wrong to believe that faith is the strong assurance that God will save us from peril by some miracle. Real faith is the certainty that God has put within us all that is needed to endure and to succeed. We don't need God to save us. We are God's miracle. Bill Kuhl didn't think his blindness was a handicap to wrestling. He approached the mat with confidence and a strategy that flummoxed his opponents. David didn't see himself as a warrior, armed to the teeth, but simply as a protector of his flock. And against Goliath, he was protector of his people, his nation, and the faith. What he did really wasn't that remarkable. It should have been ruled no contest. David used an ancient weapon, no longer deemed worthy of the new technologies for warfare. A simple sling and 5 smooth stones. And he only needed 1. Goliath never had a chance. Never got close to David. St. Luke's Lutheran Church and Union Congregational Church are in unfamiliar territory. Congregations have shrunk. Finances are stressed. And leadership is aging and tired. There is a fear that these churches are dying. Well, what if, instead of fear that we can't compete, what if we should learn from blind Bill Kuhl and the boy David and the fearless, soon to be crucified Jesus, that we have some unique characteristic that, by God's mysterious and amazing grace, equip us for whatever lies ahead? What do we have that big churches with lots of people and booming programs don't have? Think about it. David shows us that there are advantages to being small. What are ours? Sometimes what we think is our greatest weakness can, with enough faith, turn out to be our greatest strength. What fears render us less than our best self? What liabilities can we turn into assets? What storms, with a little more faith, could become our greatest opportunities? God be with us. Amen.
Amen. Please stand as you are able, and we will respond. but we are a chosen people of God on page 5 in your liturgy. We believe the Holy Spirit nourishes our growth, preserves us in faith, and keeps us in God's grace forever. Amen. Everybody's got something to offer.
Everybody's got something to offer. Young and old, the prince and the pauper. Everybody's got something to offer in the name of the Lord. To the lost and the lonely ones, the message is clear. We have all got a gift to give, our hands, our hearts, our tears. Everybody's got something to offer, proper. Everybody's got something to offer in the name of the Lord. To the believers gathered here, the message, it is true. We have all got a gift to give in all we say and do. Everybody's got something to offer, young and old, the prince and the pauper. Everybody's got something to offer in the name of the Lord.
You may be seated for the prayers of the people.
Intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words to express, oh Lord.
Again,
the Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words to express, oh Lord.
As we come together in prayer before our triune God, Gene has provided me with a fairly lengthy prayer list, and I would entertain any other names on that list are Michelle Lofgren, Cindy Sword, and her family. We'll pray for Pastor Bob for healing and his granddaughter Parker, for Pastor Ken, Linda Morgan's brother Alan, and others. So any others that you would like me to include, I'll also pause and give you an opportunity to speak during the prayers. Any others?
Jackie. For healing.
Holy God, you gather your people from east to west, north and south. We pray for the mission of the church worldwide, that your steadfast love may be known to all peoples. Lord, in your mercy. You laid the foundations of the earth, and the waters are the womb of creation. The morning stars sing your name, and all creation shouts for joy. We pray for your blessed creation, that it may continue to flourish and magnify your glory. Lord, in your mercy. You keep watch over all nations. We pray for countries experiencing violence, hunger, and unrest. Guide worldwide and local community organizations in their efforts to establish peace, safety, and justice. Lord, in your mercy. You are close to the brokenhearted and near to those in distress. We pray for those who are experiencing oppression, sexism, racism. Liberate us from the systems and chains that bind us. Remove the barriers that separate us from one another. Lord, in your mercy. You dwell with us in this faith community. This morning, we lift up Michelle. See her through her tests and through her treatments. Give her victory over this cancer once again. We pray for Cindy Sword and her family, as they also need your grace and your mercy and your healing. We pray for Jackie and would seek your healing hand upon her. We seek your healing upon Pastor Bob as well. We thank you for his generous and gracious spirit amongst us this morning in sharing the good news of salvation with us. And we pray for Bob and Diana's granddaughter, Parker. Put your healing hand upon her. We continue to lift up Pastor Ken and for Marlis. Father, we also ask for your healing touch on Linda Morgan's brother, Alan. And Father, we ask that you would be with Denise and Monica as they travel with Pat, as she has heart surgery this week. Lord, we lift up all those who grieve from any kind of loss. We lift up the Hermes Meyer family at the passing of their son Aaron. And Lord, we lift up those we aim in our hearts and in our minds. We pray for our leaders, our elders, our church councils, and our joint call committee. Grant them knowledge and patience and kindness and openness and affirmation that you may be exalted in their meetings, in their deliberations, and in this assembly. Lord, in your mercy. Your love endures in all situations. On this Father's Day, we pray for those who are fathers and for those who long to be fathers. For those who are fathers, not named fathers. For those who would care for the young. For those with broken or strained relationships. For those who are missing their fathers on this Father's Day. And for fathers who have lost children. Bless and strengthen them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We lift our prayers to you, O Father God, trusting in your abiding mercy and grace. Amen. Whose body, as we begin our preparation to celebrate the Lord's Supper, it's on page 7.
Jesus took the bread. It was unleavened bread, according to the Hebrew custom to remember the Passover, when they didn't have time for the leaven to raise the bread, so they put none in. It was unleavened bread, crisp, hard. Jesus blessed it, gave thanks, and broke it, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Eat this and remember me." In the same way, after they had sung a hymn, he took the cup, poured out the wine, and said, "This is my blood poured out for you and for everyone, for the forgiveness of your sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." In the name of Jesus Christ, I offer you this bread and this cup. Let's begin with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father
in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and his blood everlasting. Amen.
Quite sure how the order goes here. It says
top of page.
We just sang that again.
Top of page 8 is the blessing, Pastor.
May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and give you peace. Go now and live as chosen people of God.
Amen. Please stand as you are able and we'll sing the closing song. We can make a difference.
We can make a difference in everything we do. We can make a difference to me and you. Children of the light, the Spirit shows us how we can make a difference. Some say we shouldn't be heard, we've got something to say. Some say we are lost, we can't find a way. Some say we don't care, we've got love today. We can make a difference, we can make a difference in everything we do. We can make a difference. to me and you. Children of the light, the Spirit shows us how we can make a difference now. He needs someone to lean on, it just takes one shoulder. She has a lonely heart, just takes one to hold her. They're afraid to take a chance, just takes one who is bolder. You can make a difference, you can make a difference in everything we do. We can make a difference, it's up to me and you. Children of the light, the Spirit shows us how we can make a difference.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.